God is on a mission. He's looking for a very select group of people on the face of the earth in order to strongly support them, to empower them, to do amazing things in them and through them. Would you like to be that kind of person? Would you like to be one that He selects? Stick around, find out how.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is an international discipleship ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Drewy, and today Chip begins a new series called Holy Ambition, Turning God-Shaped Dreams into Reality. Over the next couple of weeks, he's going to help us discover how to live a life filled with purpose, satisfaction, and yes, even an ambition to do great things for God. Now, if you have a Bible handy, open it now to 2 Chronicles chapter 16, and let's join Chip for his message, Develop a Dislocated Heart.
For the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth, that he might strongly support those whose hearts are fully his. Think on that with me, okay? Get that in your head, in your mind. The eyes of the Lord, the Spirit of God in this room on this night, are going up and down all through the aisles, and he's looking for a man or a student or a woman whose heart is fully his, and he promises if he could find one man or one woman or one student, he would strongly support it. What do venture capitalists do? They find people that have a dream, a vision, organization, skills, and a plan. And then when they find the right people with the right plan at the right time, they fund it. And then they keep track and they bring about expertise. That's what God wants to do. He wants to fund your ministry vision, the Ephesians 2:10 calling on your life. And I want to tell you, we're going to talk about how to know if your heart is fully his, and if it is not, how to move week by week where he will do in you and through you things you never dream. Because actually, this book is full of stories of people that if you would have met them before they became apostles, or if you would have met them before they stood at the edge of the Red Sea, or if you would have met them just before, you know, the invaders were coming and they laid out this prayer before God and said, you know, there's a million or so of them and 300,000 of us, and we're going to be toast, and God, if you don't do it, every single one were just ordinary people. And God cares about your relatives, and he cares about the people you work with, and he cares about the people that are right next door to you. And the fact of the matter is that he'll strongly support you. He'll give you whatever you need. If you need courage, you need faith, you need money, you need staff, you need an idea, whatever you need, if God can find a man, a woman, or a student whose heart is fully his, he will do extraordinary things through ordinary people for his exclusive glory. So if you pull out your teaching notes, let's start the journey together. And that's a great verse, and I actually memorized it years before I ever studied it. It was one of those verses that was wow. But let me give you a little background on it, because it means even more when you study the background. It actually comes out of a story in 2 Chronicles 16, but the real story starts about verses 14 and 15. And it's about a king named Asa. And Asa was a good king at a bad time. And this time in Asa's world, I mean, people are worshiping idols. They're sacrificing their kids to Moloch and other. I mean, it was horrendous what was happening. And most of the kings were involved in it. I mean, if you read 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Chronicles, it goes like this. Bad king, bad king, bad king, bad king, bad king. Okay, king. Bad king, bad king, good king. Bad king, bad king. I mean, there's not very many good kings. In fact, Asa's father didn't do a great job, and the one before him was worse. And Asa gets this heart for God, and it opens in chapter 14, and he honored God because he removed the idols. And then he started a little building program. And then God gives him about 10 years of rest. He basically, in the little area of Judah, he obeys God. And it begins to get cleaned up, and God sees his heart, and then God brings a test. There's the army, the Cushites. It's northern part of Africa. And they have well over a million soldiers, and he's got a decent army, but it's like, this is impossible. And so he goes out to battle, and he literally says, God, You know, no one can stand against you. And you read the prayer, I encourage you to do it. And he basically says, God, if you don't show up, if you don't do it, there is no way. I mean, the odds are insurmountable. And they have this amazing victory that's supernatural by God. And it's so amazing that when he gets done with the victory, a prophet comes. And the prophet says, Asa, the Lord's pleased with you. And this is a great line. I read this afresh this morning. And if you will be with him, he will be with you. Asa, if your life lines up and if you'll be with him and do life his way and align with him, he will be with you. But if you turn away from him, Asa, he'll turn away from you. And Asa, like, got it. And he pulled together all the people. And he said, you know something? Historically, we are so far off. And there's this national repentance. And there's this movement of God. And then another prophet comes. And so he gets 15 years of relative peace in a small area. And then he gets another 20 years of massive success, building programs, removal of idols. There's even a little line in there where it talks about he even removes the queen mother, his grandmother. See, when you start getting really serious with God, he does stuff in you and through you. There'll be a few really touchy relationships that you got to step up and be honest and clear and walk with him. And I think that text was saying, Asa from bottom to top was honoring God. And then we pick it up in chapter 16. And it's the 36th year of his reign. So he's had 35 years of success. And there's a great door of opportunity. In verses 1 through 6 of chapter 16, here's the door of opportunity. It looks like a bad situation, but you can follow along. But what happens is that Judah and Israel are at odds, and the king of Israel is really making war on Judah right now. And he's got 36 years, and after time, you get a little bit older. If you're not careful, you get comfortable. And you start relying on you instead of relying on God. And so he sees this problem, and so he hires some mercenaries, the king of Aram. He empties his treasury, and the king goes ahead, does what he said he would do. He attacks Israel. Israel withdraws. Hey, great, things are okay. Now let me read, because I want you to pick up the text in verse 7 of chapter 16 of 2 Chronicles. And he's thinking, I'm a good man. I've been a good king. I got 35 years under my belt. We had a problem. I had the resources. Took care of the problem. At that time, Hanani, the seer or the prophet, came to Asa, the king of Judah, and said to him, because you relied on the king of Aram and not on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand. See, God's plan, when he brought that difficulty, he wanted to use the biggest new difficulty for a greater and greater opportunity of victory. But he said, you kind of blew it. And then he reminds him, we're not the great number of Cushites and Libyans, a mighty army with great numbers of chariots and horsemen. Yet, when you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. And then we get our verse. See, this is an axiomatic characteristic of God. This isn't just an Old Testament passage. He rebukes him and he says, for the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth. This is a principle. This is how God works. Don't you understand, Asa? If you would have relied on him now like you used to, the hand of God and the support of God and the victory of God. But instead, what you did is you grew comfortable and you relied on you and on your resources and you missed. And unfortunately, if you continue to read, Asa's response is a little less than we'd hope, and he gets a little contrary and throws a few people in prison, and it's really a bit of a sad ending. A great door of opportunity, a sad commentary. And here's what I tell you, when you read through this book or when you read through church history, a lot of people start well in the Christian life. Very, very few finish well. If you're 50 years and older and you've walked with the Lord for 15 to 20 years, let me put an asterisk in your soul. Chances are you will not finish well. Unless you get intentional, unless you get focused, what happens is you get risk adverse. When you're desperate, when you didn't know anything, you'd read the Bible, it says it, I'll try it, I'll do it, God showed up, and then pretty soon he blesses your life, and then pretty soon you find a little comfort level and you're operating on the verses of yesteryear. And then pretty soon it's, God, how can you make my life work? And how can life not get too dangerous? And you stop relying on God. And if you're not careful, you end up just a nice, moral, religious person that misses what God called you to do in this life. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be there. And I want to have a holy ambition. I want to make a difference with my life until the day I die. Well, the question is, will we answer God's call to make a significant impact at this pivotal moment in history? I mean, all you need is 3 minutes of watching Fox or CNN or one of the major stations to realize we've got nukes in a couple countries with terrorists with the ability to get their hands on them very quickly. We have an economy in Europe that, because of outrageous debt, now they can't sustain the system they've developed. We now have a global economy where we had things teetering a couple years ago that we don't live independently anymore. And it is not only a flat world, but the whole thing can go under. The whole thing can go under. And yet we now have people that actually believe with all their heart that the way to paradise is to strap a bomb and intermittently go to various countries and blow up people in the name of a false belief system thinking that honors God. Now, I don't know about you, but if you think that just getting your kids in the right school, or if you're single, finding the right person, or getting that good job, or someday living in a gated community, or remodeling the house is going to be the big answer of life, you are deluded. We are living in a window of opportunity of time that God is calling his church to step up and be difference makers. And so we got a great door of opportunity. I mean, this is, read church history. I mean, the early church, it wasn't born out of things were going great. There was crisis. There was crisis in the government. There was crisis in all these religions. There was crisis in philosophy. That produces a fertile environment where people like never before are open to not just hearing about Christ, but trusting him and walking with him and making a difference. What will it mean for each of us? First of all, it means we're going to have to model it. You can't impart what you don't possess. You got to model it. You can talk all day. You have to live it out. You can do God talk in the mall, but you got to do God walk at home and God walk at the job and God walk in your family. So you have to model it. I was talking to a man on the plane. He's an answer to a 3 or 4 year prayer. This was bizarre, and got on the plane to come from Dallas. And a couple said, excuse me, that, you know, we're husband and wife. Would you mind if we sit here? Could you sit here and we'll sit here? And said, you know, I'm traveling by myself. That's fine. So they sit here and I sit here and a guy sits next to me. And I've been praying about, how do you multiply groups? And God, how does it really work? And I understand bits and pieces. I've been reading. I've been thinking. I've been looking at churches. I've looked at things around the world. I know there's a way and I've got pieces, but I don't understand it all. And I sit next to a guy that in the last 18 years was responsible for writing the strategy and pioneering, planting 100,000 churches around the world. And I said, David, are you tired? He said, not particularly. I said, that's very good, because I'm getting my legal pad out and you're going to be answering questions for the next 3 hours. He said, fire away. I said, brother, I am. And I mean, when I got done, I said, okay, where can I get this? He put pieces together that I've never seen. I'm just telling you, God is working in our midst. And it will require every person in this room and every person in this church to discover the holy ambition that he has for you. But it starts where we model it. That doesn't mean we're perfect. That means we're making progress, and we say what we say and we do what we do, and when we mess up, we say things like, I messed up. Second, it requires focus. The key to impact is concentration. And the key to concentration is elimination. If those last two quotes I've made sound a lot like Howard Hendricks, because it's Howard Hendricks, my mentor. I was listening to a series, and it's called The Ceiling of Complexity. As you work hard and you get focused and you do a few simple things, then that grows, and then that grows, and that grows. Then you have to have meetings to talk about the simple things that grew into big things. Then you have to write reports about the simple things that grew into the big things. And then you have to hire people and or get involved in other things. And then pretty soon your life, anybody have stacks at home? Clutter, 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 stack, stack, stacks, email, 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 phone, phone, phone. And what actually, many of you are very successful, and then what happens is you hit a ceiling. And you unwisely, like me, believe that the way you break through the ceiling is working harder and longer. That's not what the research demonstrates. The fact of the matter is your paradigm has to completely change, and you have to simplify your life. And you have to realize you get a focus, and there's a number of things that you've been doing, which made you successful, that you step back and say, some of those I can't do anymore, and some people will be a little upset because I'm drawing a boundary, and I'm going to get back to the simple, focused things that I'm best at, that I love to do, that cause the growth in my life, my family, my relationships. Most people today are flashlights, diffused light going multiple directions, with high frustration and lack of productivity. People who are laser beams have discovered the few things they can do. They say no to a lot of things and to a lot of people, and they do a few things extraordinarily well. And a laser beam can cut through a steel door, and a flashlight can see about 30 feet across the room. So which are you? And we've started to believe that the invisible gun that we hold to our head, that someone else's hand is on it, and it's not, it's yours and it's mine. I have to be here, I gotta go here. My kids are involved in 4 youth sports, and I've got these 3 meetings, those 2 meetings. Well, time out. Who signed up for that? Who said your kids have to be involved in that much? Well, I have to do this and this, we're both working. Well, who says you both have to work? Well, we have to rent instead of buy. Well, who says you have to buy? I mean, at the end of the day, you make choices, I make choices, and they determine everything, and some of the subtle choices you've made have ripple effects that have you living a life that you don't like, that's not fulfilling what you were made to do, and you keep hitting these walls. It'll require that we model it, then it requires focus. And the key to focus is concentration. The key to concentration is elimination. And so it'll mean for each of us that God gives us a holy ambition. God is searching as intently today as he was in Asa's day to strongly support those whose hearts are fully his. He's looking for those who would dare to dream and to believe that they can, in fact, change the world. And I would really say it like this, change your world. No one knows your world and the needs like you do. It's the people you love. There's certain things. We don't have to change the world. If we will each change our little sections and the things that cause our heart to beat faster and the needs and the hurts that cause something inside of us that where the Spirit of God is pulled out and says, if you had more time, you could really care and make a difference. And we keep telling the Spirit, well, I will later when things slow down. And I will later when I have more time. And I will later when I have more resources. And I got news for you, that later is never coming. It comes when you say, that I must do. And God, I will listen to your voice and rearrange my time and my schedule and my living and my thinking and my viewing around what it will cost to do that. And those who do that experience a holy ambition.
Chip will be right back with some additional thoughts about today's teaching. But if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. And the message you just heard, Develop a Dislocated Heart, is from Chip's series, Holy Ambition, Turning God-Shaped Dreams into Reality. Now, this 6-part series helps you discover how an ordinary person can do extraordinary things for God. In it, Chip spells out 6 key conditions for anyone who longs to make a difference, longs to know God's will for their life, and then how to accomplish it. If that's you or someone you know, this series, Holy Ambition, is the perfect place to start. Chip walks you through a step-by-step process that will bring clarity and intentionality to your life. There are several Holy Ambition resources available, and all are discounted right now. Not only that, but we know not everyone's in the same place on their spiritual journey. So when you go to our website, click on You Were Made for More to find all of the resources we're currently discounting. We want to help you discover your spiritual gifts and what's next on your faith journey. Give us a call at 1-888-333-6003 or visit us online at livingontheedge.org for Holy Ambition and You Were Made for More.
Well, Chip, before you come back with some final thoughts from today's message, you know, people often want to know what has inspired you to create the different series we hear on Living on the Edge. So I'd kind of like to know what sparked the idea for this series, Holy Ambition.
It's really interesting. I was asked to come and speak at Pebble Beach to a group of, I guess I would call them very influential, very wealthy people that were on a retreat. And I was kind of a local pastor. Why don't you come out and teach the Bible? And I thought, oh, Lord, you know, what do you say to these people? And I thought, well, who in the scripture might identify a person with money, power, position, prestige? And what would be the biblical view? And so I remember being very nervous. And so as I'm praying and thinking, on the back of an envelope, literally in the car on the way there, it finally popped into my mind, it's Nehemiah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a man of position and power and influence and wealth, and yet, instead of him using that for himself, what he saw was God had placed him there, not to feel guilty about that, but to be greatly used by him. And I jotted sort of the basic thoughts, because I knew the passages very well. And then later, I met with Moody Publishing, and they said, what's really your life message? And what I realized was this holy ambition, this drive, this dream, this desire, and how do you make a difference for God had really been the message God had implanted in my heart. And so I taught that first. It later became a book, and we've recorded a brief, like 10 to 12 minutes for each chapter, DVD, for small group to get together. This is going to be a very exciting time for those who think, you know, I want God to use my life, but I really just don't understand how he taps you on the shoulder and how you go from an idea or a passion to that becoming a reality. So I think we're going to have a great couple weeks.
Well, thanks, Chip. It's fun to hear the evolution of a series, isn't it? Well, now would be a great time to get a few friends together and dig into Holy Ambition as a small group. Pursuing a holy ambition isn't for the faint of heart. It'll take determination, perseverance, and a group of people to support and cheer you on. So let me encourage you, go to our website, livingontheedge.org, where you'll find the Holy Ambition video resources, either DVDs or online streaming with study guides, and get your group started. And remember, if you have questions, you can always just give us a call here at 1-888-333-6003. We'd love to talk with you. Well, now here's Chip with some final thoughts.
Have you ever pondered the concept of holy ambition? They seem diametrically opposed on the front end, but they're not. Holy, pure, something that is pleasing to God, but ambitious, something that has size and impact and purpose and will make a difference. Do you have holy ambition? I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, if you were honest with yourself as you listen to my voice today, do you have a dream inside your heart? Do you have a desire? Is there a drive to make a difference for God? See, I believe you do. It may be squelched. It may be quiet. You may have not thought about it. You may even think it's illegal, because every time people talk about ambition and doing something great or large or of impact, Christians tend to say, oh, there's got to be pride there. I'd like to suggest that God has a holy ambition for you. It may not mean you'll ever be visible. It may not mean you'll ever be famous, but it will mean that he'll put a dream in your heart, and it'll be a God-sized dream, and then he'll give you the motives to do it for his glory. I hope that you will be with us in the next couple weeks as we look at the 6 prerequisites, the 6 conditions, what it requires for you to make a difference for God. I hope you'll join me in this journey together of holy ambition.
Before we wrap up today's program, I want to say thank you to those who make this broadcast possible through your generous financial support. Living on the Edge invests those dollars to create radio programs, develop small group resources, and offer literally hundreds of audio, video, and print items free every month. If you've been blessed by the ministry of Living on the Edge but have never supported us financially, would you consider sending a gift today? You can donate securely online at livingontheedge.org or by calling us at 1-888-333-6003. On behalf of Chip and the entire staff here at Living on the Edge, thank you for your support. And thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.